The Earth is not flat. It's hollow. At least according to some people. Up next, we've got the secret lost diary of Admiral Richard E. Byrd. Stay tuned, little Stardusties. You're not going to want to miss this.
Sometimes things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre. This is Star Queen Paranormal for the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal.
Howdy, Star Dusties. This is your Hierophant of the Haunted.
Repo Woman of the Rancors, Alien Warrior Goddess, Enthusiast of the Strange and Extraordinary.
And the who, when you call who's there?
I am Exy, the Pumpkin King.
And, as always, the point of this podcast is not to convince anyone that any of this is real, as life requires a healthy dose of skepticism. Our goal is to present information for you to formulate your own opinions and ideas on some of the more curious subjects of our reality. Not to change your mind, but to broaden it. To present the idea. Believe what you want, guys. Sorry. That might have been too fast today. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, skeptics are welcome. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. Everything is for you to decide. Welcome, my little Stardusties. You're back for the number 12 episode. I had to double check to make sure. I'm going to read some stuff on the number 12. I think I'm going to stick with angel numbers from here on out. According to yourtango.com, 12 symbolizes finding harmony in opposing ideas and tendencies, knowledge and intellect. Seeking higher wisdom and regenerative cycles toward higher consciousness. And that's some spiritual stuff on the number 12. Now it's time for everyone's favorite part, or some people's favorite part, maybe a small number of you's favorite part, Terrible Tarot!
It's terrible! Yeah!
It's Terrible Tarot. Now, many of you Stardusties may ask, why is it so terrible? Well, you see here, kids, I am not a paid psychic, though I might play one on TV someday in the future. But you wouldn't pay me for these readings. However, if you like to, I'm starting a not-so-terrible tarot segment on Patreon, probably about twice a month. We'll see when I can get to it. But, you know, exclusive content for exclusive Stardusties!
All hail the exclusive Stardusties!
Right, where were we? Ah, Terrible Tarot. You can hear me shuffling the cards pretty terribly. That's the name of the game, Terrible Tarot. I'm using a plain Rider-Waite deck, and I invite anyone whose spiritual beliefs do not mesh with tarot to go ahead and skip this part, though I can't tell you how long it takes.
Your fortune for today. 3 of Wands. Ace of Cups, and 2 of Swords. And what I am getting from the cards, you have been patiently waiting for something. Something that you know is pretty much yours. You know those ships are coming in. And you feel like you're overflowing with abundance and love. Good, happy thoughts. Things that would make people fly in Neverland. Emotions, happiness, you're overflowing. And the cards say
to be patient, because no matter when you strike, you've got a sword in each hand. You've got the tools you need to make it succeed, no matter which direction you choose. And that, my friends, was pretty terrible. Today's quote from whatever I feel like quoting.
Today, me will live in the moment. Unless it's unpleasant. In which case, me will eat a cookie.
And that quote, of course, was from Cookie Monster from Sesame Street. And from today's bizarre headline, this article is from July 9th from Local 10 News. In Big Pine Key, Florida, hundreds of people attended an underwater music festival, the Lower Keys Underwater Music Festival. Many divers and snorkelers in attendance were dressed as sea creatures and mermaids. Music was played through waterproof speakers dangling from boats floating above the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary. The festival raised awareness on how to protect coral reefs. Among the songs played for this festival, Yellow Submarine by the Beatles and Under the Sea from the Little Mermaid soundtrack. Today, we are going straight to the story. Irish legend speaks of a place far north where the weather is always pleasantly warm and the sun is always shining. Japanese legend speaks of the island of the congealed teardrop, which was said to be both at the top of the world and the center of the earth. And a legend from China speaks of a terrestrial paradise within the center of the world, said to be found directly under the heavenly palace of Shangte in the Pole Star. According to a book called The Secret Lost Diary of Admiral E. Byrd and the Phantom of the Poles, in 1954, a spelunker by the name of George Wiest went missing and was presumed dead while exploring caves near Glasgow, Kentucky, only to turn up several weeks later. He told a tale of being rescued by mysterious people. When he awoke, he was greeted by a tall blonde woman with mystical blue eyes. The mysterious beauty led him out of a medical room onto a strange landscape, a flower-covered plain with snow-capped mountains in the background. The sun was odd. It seemed smaller, dimmer, and copperish in color. There was no horizon that Wiest could see, Wiest claimed. It looked like I was at the bottom of a huge bowl, with sides going up in every direction. Wiest was soon led up the ramp of a metallic football-shaped object. Two people stood on either side of him. They smiled, a rather unnerving smile, and placed their hands on either side of George's head. That was the last thing he remembered before he woke up just outside of town. And legend has it that Admiral Richard E. Byrd wrote of a strange experience within the center of the world as well, a land beyond the poles, which he referred to as the Great Unknown. But let's back up for a moment. According to Wikipedia, Admiral Richard E. Byrd was an American naval officer and explorer who received the Medal of Honor for his flight over the North Pole. But it's his journey to the South Pole that we are far more interested in. Byrd's fourth expedition was from 1946 to 1947. It was an impressive naval expedition to Antarctica. 13 ships, 33 aircraft, 4,700 men. It was nicknamed Operation High Jump. And the military group was nicknamed Task Force 68. Its official purpose was to establish the Antarctic Research Base, Little America 4, though some speculate that perhaps it was also to keep tabs on German and Russian activity in the South Pole. After all, the expedition took place not long after World War II. And according to a book called Army Observer's Report of Operation High Jump, the primary objectives of the expedition were to explore and map by aerial reconnaissance and photography as much of the unexplored and unmapped portions of the interior as possible, and certain parts of the improperly charted coastline, and to determine the feasibility and develop techniques for establishing, maintaining, and utilizing air bases on ice. On January 17, 1947, at 0700 hours, the radio man stationed on the USS Brownson reported how UFOs appeared out of the ocean depths. The radio man, John P. Sejwak, said, I and my shipmates in the pilot house port side observed for several minutes the bright lights that ascended about 45 degrees into the sky. Very quickly, we couldn't ID the lights because our radar was limited to 250 miles in a straight line. Another report, a few weeks later, from Lieutenant John Sayerson, says, the thing shot vertically out of the water at tremendous velocity, as though pursued by the devil, and flew between the masts at such a high speed that the radio antenna oscillated back and forth in its turbulence. An aircraft from Currituck that took off just moments later was stuck with an unknown type of ray from the object and almost instantly crashed into the sea near our vessel. About 10 miles away, the torpedo boat Maddox burst into flames and began to sink. Having personally witnessed this attack by the object that flew out of the sea, all I can say is, it was frightening. I will say that this report supposedly came from an intercepted Soviet report, and skeptics have pointed out that the names of the ships, particularly the torpedo boat Maddox, do not line up with the records of Operation High Jump. However, Chile did release press reports that stated that Operation High Jump had suffered many casualties, and some ships and planes were destroyed, possibly from some mysterious battle. And Admiral Byrd himself revealed in a press conference that Task Force 68 encountered a new enemy that could fly from pole to pole at incredible speeds. And just a related tidbit I nabbed from Ancient Aliens. In 2018, satellite caught a contrail going from pole to pole. And this, of course, was baffling because contrails, according to the episode I nabbed it from, only last about 15 to 30 minutes. But what does all this have to do with hollow earth theory? Well, when Admiral Byrd returned, he was eventually interviewed on television, and he spoke of an area as long as the United States on the other side of the South Pole from Middle America. He also said, I think it's astonishing that there should be an area as big as that left unexplored. After Admiral Byrd's death in 1957, Richard Byrd Jr., his son, went ahead and published his father's secret diary of his Antarctic travels. In it was an entry from February 19, 1949. In the diary, Richard Byrd speaks of flying into a mysterious opening in the South Pole, and the snow-covered land below him began to look lush and green. He also noted that the sun looked strange, and he saw a creature he believed to be a woolly mammoth, or had a woolly mammoth-like appearance. As he was flying, disc-shaped aircrafts flew alongside him and took control of his plane. These aircrafts landed him outside a large, shimmering city, pulsating with rainbow hues of color. He is led to a room where he is told he is to meet the master. And the master was a man with delicate features and the etching of years upon his face. In a soft voice, the master explains, we have let you enter here because you are of noble character and well known on the surface world, Admiral. Surface world, I half gasped under my breath. Yes, the master replies with a smile. You are in the domain of the Ariane, the inner world of the Earth. We shall not delay your mission, and you will be safely escorted back to the surface and for a distance beyond. But now, Admiral, I shall tell you why you have been summoned here. Our interest rightly begins just after your race exploded the first atomic bombs over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan. It was at that alarming time we sent our flying machines, the Flugelrods, to your surface world to investigate what your race had done. That is, of course, past history now, my dear Admiral. But I must continue on. You see, we have never interfered before in your race's wars and barbarity. But now we must. For you have learned to tamper with a certain power that is not for man. Namely, that of atomic energy. Our emissaries have already delivered messages to the power of your world, and yet they do not heed. Now you have been chosen to be witness here that our world does exist. You see, our culture and science are many thousands of years beyond your race, Admiral. I interrupted. But what does this have to do with me, sir? The Master's eyes seemed to penetrate deeply into my mind, and after studying me for a few moments, he replied, "Your race has now reached the point of no return, for there are those among you who would destroy your very world rather than relinquish their power as they know it." I nodded, and the Master continued, "In 1945 and afterward, we tried to contact your race, but our efforts were met with hostility. Our flugel rods were fired upon. Yes, even pursued with malice and animosity by your fighter planes. So, now I say to you, my son, there is a great storm gathering in your world. A black fury that will not spend itself for many years. There will be no answer in your arms. There will be no safety in your science. It may rage on until every flower of your culture is trampled, and all human things are leveled in vast chaos. Your recent war was only a prelude of what is yet to come for your race. We here see it more clearly with each hour. Do you say I am mistaken?" After Bird returned, he gave this report to the Pentagon on March 11th, 1947. And the president was informed. According to Admiral Byrd's diary, he was then detained for 6 hours and 39 minutes and was reminded that he was a military man and he must obey orders, and those orders were to remain silent. Now, it's interesting to note that about 12 years later, the Antarctic Treaty was signed, where several countries agreed that Antarctica shall be for peaceful purposes only. They also agreed on freedom of scientific investigation in Antarctica, and exchanging of observations and results shall be exchanged and made freely available. Now, it's unclear if the Antarctic Treaty has anything to do with what Richard E. Byrd possibly saw. But another interesting note is that according to the Orlando Sentinel, in October 1988, Richard E. Byrd Jr., the son who went and published his father's secret diary, went missing for 3 weeks on his way to a ceremony honoring his father. He was found dead in a warehouse, derelict and dehydrated, and his death remains a bit of a mystery. For more information on this subject, look into The Secret Lost Diary of Admiral Richard E. Byrd by Richard E. Byrd, The Secret Diary of Admiral Richard E. Byrd and Phantom of the Poles by Tim R. Swartz, Commander X, and William Reed, and check out a documentary about Operation High Jump, not as filled with aliens and Hollow Earth theories, I'm afraid, but still interesting. It's called The Secret Land. So, little Stardusties, what do you think? Do you think these are fantastical tales of fiction? Fictions, perhaps, conjured in hopes of confusing enemies who may intercept our transmissions in the South Pole? Or do you believe that Admiral Byrd lived an extraordinary tale and was sworn to secrecy? Do you have other reasons for believing the Earth is or is not hollow? Do you or someone you know have a tale of the strange and extraordinary that you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out at Star Queen Paranormal on Facebook and Instagram. Buy your favorite Star Queen some snackies by checking out patreon.com/starqueenparanormal, where for as little as a dollar, you can access exclusive content and throw some snacks my way. So, Stardusties, remember, it's dangerous to go alone. Take your heart with you. Always remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. Continue existing as you would, my dudes.